Father, what have we done? Doctors, lawyers, judges, guardians of our law, will you give the key of truth before we fall? The Constitution raised, let our republic stand. Despite the cost to you, bring justice to our land. Preachers, destroy the lie, return to our God's law. Decry democracy, proclaim His sovereignty, set all the captives free, be willing to lose all. The price is not so dear as you might think or fear. You'll save your soul. You'll save your soul. How can you turn your head and look the other way? Your dreams, your tears, your lies are what you'll have to pay. They will take all you have, too late, you're gonna say. Integrity. And what will you sacrifice to keep our people free?
Your wealth, your fame, your power, will you lay these things down?
When called to stand alone and face the enemy, we must be strong, we must fight on. What will our children say if we their trust betray? We must fight on.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is December 14th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim. And good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's, Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning in thanksgiving, Lord, and in awe of your power. Lord, all of the plans of your enemy are laid out. They think they've got everybody where they want them. And Lord, we know that you just laugh at them. We thank you for your sense of humor. Lord, we thank you mostly for your protection and for your guidance and your care of your people. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to protect us. Lord, we ask that you bless this broadcast as it goes out. Lord, help it to light the corners and to be a shield to the household of God. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to strengthen us, that you protect our families, Lord, that you prosper our hands, that you'd give us mental clarity and vision to see, Lord, and that we might not fear, but, Lord, that we might have joy in the fact that our Lord fights for us, both before us and after us, under us and above us. Lord, we just pray that you bless and keep all that is yours and make your light shine upon us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. Anybody have anything that they want to start off with this morning?
I was going to pick on you about terrorizing folks with your drones.
Yeah, actually, I was planning on getting to that. What do you think is going on with the drone deal?
I guess there's a bunch of different angles it can be coming from, but that's kind of crazy. That's been allowed to happen for sure.
Yeah, well, and it wasn't, it was 2019, 2020. When the same thing was happening over Colorado, Nebraska, it was absolutely, there was a lot of people that, sorry, I'm fighting a cold. There was a lot of people that were just saying that, you know, it wasn't happening, but we got national coverage over Colorado and Wyoming, and we actually witnessed them. I mean, it was, they were right here, and it was absolutely just crazy and insane to see. It was, they were definitely flying a grid pattern, and they were big drones, and there was a lot of them. And I know that pretty much around where we're at, and this is going back, this is, I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, they started, but some of the first sightings were here in, you know, Colorado near the Wyoming border, and then they moved across and were seen all across Nebraska. And I know that they were out there quite a bit where you were at, Tim. I mean, there were several people that you know and family members that had witnessed them as well. And then it kind of dried up and didn't hear anything about it for a long time. And then it sounds like the exact same exercise is taking place now.
Well, I know just with my little Phantom 2 that I fly. It's impressive, you know, that you can put it in a grid mode and where it can take a grid map about, you know, a whole area that you program it to, and you can have some really good pictures, you know, and capture everything, you know, really close. And there's no telling what those drones are outfitted with.
Yeah, we're seeing, yeah, some interesting photos. I mean, they had, we're getting reports from all over the place. Supposedly they were flying over a U.S. air base in Ramstein, where Ramstein's in Germany, by the way. But, Der Spiegel did a little whip on that. And then, also New Jersey sounds like they're just going crazy over there. They got people over there shooting at them, you know, and, it's like, well, isn't that interesting? But there's also some videos of them spraying stuff, supposedly. I mean, and then there's some of them where they kind of look like maybe UFOs, you know, like I seen a video here maybe 2-3 weeks ago, something like that, of China had a big grid pattern over there. It came supposedly out of China, and they had all of these drones, and they were talking about attacks and, you know, as a military maneuver. So I don't really know. I mean, but then you get into the fact that there's so many sightings, so many different places. Well, ask yourself, who has the money or the ability to put that many up into the air? You know, so that kind of goes back toward that too. I mean, that helps thin the field a little bit.
Yeah, and I had somebody send me in this, and I think it's got some good information in it. And it says, few people have asked me about my thoughts on drones, so here's what I think. I believe the deep state does not favor drones because they can fly anywhere and see what's there, moving quickly in and out. They pose more of a threat to the deep state than to the state itself. Therefore, I think that the media blitz is aimed at creating more laws around drones to make them more controlled so people cannot use them to access information they should not have. Flying a drone over someone's house is legal unless it's in a no-fly zone, like an airport, etc. In theory, you could fly your drone over a location where deep state activities are happening, capture proof on video, and be out of there so fast they wouldn't even know it happened. This is why, for the most part, some of the videos you are seeing these days are of normal things like helicopters and airplanes. Also, keep in mind they have lights on them. If they had no lights, most people would never see them, and they would not show up on video. Just saying, they want them to be seen. I thought about that too. Are they, you know, making such a big deal about this so people all of a sudden they start screaming, hey, we need more laws, we need more regulations on these drones, we need to know who's flying them? What, you know, is it just trying to do that?
That does make a lot of sense.
You know, we saw a lot of truth come out just from individuals, whether it was all the Haitians that had, you know, come in and invaded some of the towns, whereas the mainstream media was saying, oh, no, it's not a problem at all. But the local people are showing videos of them catching and eating dogs and cats and things like that. You know, that was a big stink. It was truth what was happening, but it wasn't socially acceptable. So the media wasn't putting it out. It wasn't part of their agenda. But the people that live there, you know, they were putting out videos. They were putting things out saying, hey, this is what is happening on the ground. And that didn't go over too well with the mainstream media. And so, yeah, I think that this could very well be following in the same footsteps that, you know, what we're seeing from the man on the street, you might say, from the guy that lives, that these things are flying over his house, we're seeing one thing. And we're certainly hearing something else from the federal government, from the local people. And I think that, again, it shows that distinction, that line's being drawn, because you've got a few lawmakers, a few elected officials that are asking questions and saying, hey, what really is going on here? We want to have some solid answers, and they're not getting them. And I think that shows that they're maybe those people aren't as deep state as others are. But yeah, it's for more censorship, for more laws, more regulations, and the people will cry out for it.
Well, traditionally, the powers that were would be, how you want to phrase that, they make a problem or create a problem, and then they make an answer for a problem that they created. So that is kind of their modus operandi. You know, I mean, that's their MO. That's how they work. So it's not unreasonable to think that that's certainly a possibility.
I mean, yeah, it is. It's definitely interesting. I mean, something's going on there. And just like what you were talking about, Tim, the amount of money. I mean, these drones ain't cheap drones. These drones are very expensive drones, and to be flying them day after day after day, yeah, just the logistics of that is huge. There's some big money somewhere that's backing it. What I'd like to know is where all that information is going. I know with a lot of these DJI drones and stuff that we had here in the United States, there's a lot of companies. our local sheriff department, they quit using them because they said that there was a built-in software that as soon as they started downloading the content from them, it was automatically sending it through a back door back to China. And they've had that come out with a lot of these drones and their software and stuff that basically it's like, I mean, there's nothing that was private on them. Even civilian drones, it was stuff was back being sent all across the world. And you know, you're talking about massive amounts of data, especially when you're talking 4K, 8K, you know, video images. I mean, that stuff, it, you have to have some major infrastructure just to do anything with that amount of data.
Yeah. Well, and I've heard a little chatter about the fact that there's, and I don't know, this is strictly, I have no confirmation, but really don't have any way to get any, but supposedly there's some full lockout drills that are coming between now and Christmas Eve, of radio and radar and aircraft communications to the military for like several hour blocks, that things are going on. So, you know, it's some kind of big show going on there that don't really know what it's all about. But there's a lot of more questions than answers, let's put it that way. But we can definitely keep our head up, keep our eyes open, and you know, try to assess what we're seeing with what we already know. I mean, it isn't like we don't have past operations procedures that give us an eyeball into what's going on. When God has opened your eyes and seen the truth, why you know, you can kind of look at it and go, okay. So there's some interesting stuff happening. So,
well, you can tell that it's just, and it's definitely going to be, you know, a weapon of warfare. Just, I was looking at the other day, I was looking at a bunch of this anti-drone munitions and companies that have popped up that I had never heard of, and how they have, you know, anti-drone software, anti-drone guns, anti-drone tracking software, and you know, basically electronics that that can lock on to target, and basically how they are, you know, there's companies that are getting huge right now that are I mean, the sole purpose of the company is to fight drones. So I mean, the military is getting involved in it, they're taking it seriously. It's definitely going to be, I think that it's going to be more of a weapon of warfare used, you know, over here than it has been in, than we've ever seen. I mean, it's something that's been used for a long time, overseas, and, we've heard about it in bits and pieces, and we really thought it was like the exception to the rule. It was something that was used once in a while. And I think that it's actually used a lot more than anybody suspects. You know, I don't know if I said that right or not, but I do know it was interesting because I seen a raid not too long ago, and it was a joint raid with a drug task force, a police force, and a sheriff's department, and they brought the SWAT rig in, and it was happened just down the road from me, watched it. But one of the things that I thought was quite interesting is as we saw them rolling down the road and rolling through the gates, there was a I heard something and I looked up, and there was the two drones, and that was the first thing. The two drones were circling the perimeter, watching everything, keeping eyes in the sky, basically. And they stayed up there the whole time that the raid was taking place. Sheriff's Department went in with an armored vehicle and cleared the property, detained several people, and those drones were just—I mean, they were there. They could see everything that was going on, and I was talking with one of the officers about it, and he was telling me that he said, "Oh yeah," he said, "it's huge. They got big screens, and they got people that are in they got a vehicle that they sit in, and they can see everything that's going on from the sky. So I don't know. I thought just interesting.
Can be a useful tool. Can also be used in ways that are inappropriate and incorrect, just like pretty much everything else, right? So yeah, absolutely. Did you guys see where there was a statue of Baphomet in New Hampshire erected near a nativity scene?
No.
They put one next to a nativity scene. I suspect with the New Hampshire State Houses, it happened in Concord, which is interesting in and of itself, but somebody fixed it. I mean, they took a sledgehammer to it. I mean, you know, it was nothing left. But anyways, doesn't sound like there was mayors there and different things that were like, well, we were tempted to deny the permit to put that up and accept the risk of a threatened lawsuit because he said, I don't think it was made in the interest of promoting religious equity, but in order to drive an anti-religious agenda, imagine that, right? At any rate, the police are investigating. So I was like, well, the Lord just doesn't have any kind of sense of humor over that. I think that's it's just one of those things, a black and white flag and the goat thing and all that. It's like, you know, we don't live in a satanic state. Deal with it or leave. You know, that's just the way it is. God's, and I'm glad we don't. So.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, people need to, when they see things like that happen, and they need to put their tongue to the top of their mouth and say no.
Absolutely.
Well, Paul, you're awful quiet over there this morning. What do you got to say this morning?
Well, you know, I said this for years. We've been looking at the southern border and where the people are coming in through Canada. We're looking at the drones. Look down at the ground because something else is going on. It's just a rule of life, in my opinion. I used to look at a tree. I got a tree. The people are going up looking at the top of the tree, and I'm looking for the trunk that I got for a girdling root. You know, but that's just, we always look in the wrong direction. You know, and God's got this thing control. I mean, we think we talk too much about what they're doing, but what is God doing? You know, they're doing it. They don't put it past them anything. You know, and them drones can be very handy in police chases a little bit. I see on the YouTube and stuff, and they can see what's going on from the top, and you know, and that's handy if it's used properly. But the and we another thing it does makes us live a little more straight because everybody's watching. You're always on somebody's camera nowadays, so you just know it, and that's helped straighten us up too, you know, to some degree. Not that I need much, but you just knowing that somebody's watching and God's always watching, and that's on for eternity. So we're looking in the wrong direction, I think, sometimes. You know, Psalm 2, why does the heathen rage? Why do people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed ones. They say, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away. They want us dead, and that's a given. But if you go on and read that, you know, God protects us. You know, he sits in the heavens and laughs, and I think we need to laugh at this, someone disagree, because we get over involved in some of this technology and stuff, and the truth is always simple. That's my take on it. Not that what you guys are saying isn't true, but we just can't worry too much about what they're doing. You know, in Psalm 83, it lists all the people. You know, if you see that George Washington vision of the last one, all the nations together are coming to attack Israel, us. And, you know, everybody else thinks it's the Middle East, but the Eastern Sea and the Western Sea don't qualify them. And then a lot of other things that we know. But, we just have to look up. He's going to protect us through this mess. And it's all real. And your neighbor might be your worst enemy. Who knows? You know, if they're loyal to the government over God, and that's real common in families and everything. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Well, the heck they wouldn't. So that's my take on it. But I might be wrong, so you guys correct me.
No, I don't think you're wrong on it at all. That's the fact. He's in control and nothing's going to happen. He doesn't allow it to happen. And we also know that we can help steer that direction ourselves with our obedience and line it up with his will.
He sure seems like we're seeing more of that. Seems like more of that's going on. You know, there were two earthquakes this last week, one off the coast of California and one further in. And, I mean, they issued tsunami warnings and all this, and then it didn't develop into a big tidal wave. And so it just kind of, you know, people don't, you don't see much about that again in the media. You don't hear people talking about it, but, the Lord is doing things. He is moving and shaking. Once again, record wildfires out in Malibu, you know, chasing the Hollywood stars out of their homes, things like that. And, things are going on. And, you know, and then on, I'll say on our side, in talking with people, you know, there's a couple terms that sure seem to be, more so in the public consciousness, more so in the conversations than before. One is awakening. Seems like there's an awakening going on. People are not woke, but awake, waking up. And I think that's a good thing. It is. You know, what's worked for the enemy in the past just doesn't seem to be working as well anymore. And it just does seem like, Paul, you mentioned that you're seeing signs out that say, America, don't stop praying now. And that's been after the election. And it seems like that there's, you know, I've had people talk about, you know, there just seems to be a different spirit in the land now. And I think people are more receptive to that, that they're seeing that, maybe we're not on this path to just embracing this hard left, Antichrist agenda, but that there is another way.
I think we've got to be sensitive to people around us. You know, I've gotten a little callous myself, but I have to be sensitive to the people around me. When they ask a question, you got to be there to help them and feed them. And there's more and more of that going on because they are questioning things. You know, I see people at the coffee shop talking about stuff I talked about 40 years, you know, about stuff in their food and all that stuff like that, and they're finally awakening to it. Yeah, he said, I thought my dad was crazy, but I guess he wasn't, you know. But, there is an awakening going on, and, he's going to his people, the sheep hear his voice, you know, but not everybody heard his voice. You know, the wicked don't want to hear his voice, and they hate the righteous, and they're drunk on the blood of the saints. They want us dead, and, he who digs the hole falls in it. They're going to fall in their own hole. I don't know how that's going to happen, but something's really good going on.
You know, you don't even really have to know what's going on, but there's a value to know that something's going on, because if you know something's going on, that puts you to looking and searching. And it's probably a better spot, actually, than thinking you know what's going on, because, once again, I guess the fat and happy idea, if you got it all figured out, you don't need to be searching, you know, versus if you just know something's going on and you're trying to figure it out, you're going to be putting in more effort to figuring out, you know, once again, looking down from the canopy of the trees and looking at the trunk and then the roots, you know, where is the root of this problem coming from? That's a whole different perspective.
Well, you know, I used to go to the Patriot movements years ago, and the people, you know, they just wanted the monkey off their back. They didn't want nothing to do with God's, you know, word or anything like that. They had their own agenda. And that's just the way it is. A lot of people want to just get rid of the monkey off their back, but they don't really look in the mirror and see that's where the problem is.
Yeah, I say a lot of times that when I listen to some of these guys talk about different things, it's like, well, they just want their kind of communism. They don't really want God's way.
Right.
But there is nothing that transpires that is not from God. I mean, he allows or uses whatever it is to be there. So whatever is happening is according to, and, you know, they hate that. And, Zechariah 14:13 says it'll come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And, you know, if we look around, we say, wow, there's a lot going on. It's very tumultuous. I mean, there's a lot of times when that's going, a guy's like, I'm not sure what's going on with that. I mean, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Because God wants it to, you know, and we may not understand it, but that's where your faith comes into play. And God understands it, and that's what really matters. So, you know, all we need to do is stand firm and have faith and serve God, and it's all coming out according to His plan. So even though we can't see it sometimes, but you can see that confusion in the enemy. It's like Paul says, a lot of times they don't even like each other, you know? I mean, so when you see that, it's like, I thought it was interesting that one of the things that just came out here recently was that the Clintons are trying to ask for a preemptive pardon for themselves before, you know, Biden leaves office so that they can get a pardon. And it's like, preemptive? How can you be pardoned when you haven't done anything wrong? I mean, isn't that like pre-crime? You know, it's like, we're going to do something wrong, so we need to buy an indulgence, or we need to get some kind of forgiveness here so that we can go ahead and get away with it. You know, I mean, I'm not so sure with those two. It hadn't had to go to birth and continue forever, you know, because it just seems like they're always in the midst of some kind of evil scheme or turmoil or something. But I thought that was they don't like each other.
So were you saying that getting the monkey off your back, and I'm sitting here looking at a big red oak tree, and Paul talks all the time about the lack of accountability and how insurance and just the whole system, you know, has set it up to where folks just aren't accountable for their actions, and that affects so many different layers of people's lives, to them being able to not be accountable for their actions, for what they're doing, for I guess even our thoughts and what's driving us. But you know, looking at that tree is an analogy for our problem and the drones and everything else. When you get down to the root of the problem, that's the humbling part of it to us. You know, we're that root. We're the ones that are responsible for it, because we're the ones that have put ourselves where we're in need of that rod. You know, we need to chase them to bring us back to the fold where we should be, so that we don't have to be punished for our actions.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised. You know, the fall of Babylon's in progress. You know, Revelation 18 says it's to cut yourself off. And that's a mental separation, in my opinion, that primarily because, you know, I drove around with no driver's license, no license plate, free man, all that bull crap that I did. And I got to thinking, you know, if everybody drove around with no license, no license plates, it'd still be a mess. And it's all about spiritual. So, you know, you got to do what God puts on your plate in that day. You know, you got to be sensitive to that, because we can't figure this mess out, but it's going down.
Yeah. And who you are drives everything that you do. You're exactly right. You know, what are you grounded in? What are your morals? Because without that, without the morality, without us being grounded and walking in faith, pursuing the kingdom, there can't be any law and order, no matter how many laws you make and who's trying to enforce it.
Well, let me tell you, when you drive around with no insurance on your vehicle, you drive a whole lot different. Let me tell you.
You're very careful. Yeah, no doubt. Well, and it's kind of like, you know, I don't have a problem with real money. God loves just weights and measures, and He loves things that can't be changed. But that was always an example to me. You know, the problem is 1 Timothy 6:10. It doesn't matter whether you're on the gold standard or on the, and I'm not saying that the paper standard or the Pern standard is a good thing. I don't believe it is at all. But the problem isn't that. The problem is that's one of the, you know, symptoms of the disease, and it's definitely a progression of that illness. But the disease is 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's the covetousness that they go after, and it's that. And it leads to error, it leads to destruction, and it causes people to do things that are not right or not godly. And I think a lot of times, you know, kind of what you said, Josh, as far as it's the root of the evil, not the, you know, the root is where it is. And when we see those things go on, we have to ask ourselves, you know, you fix the symptom, but you don't cure the disease. The symptom's coming right back. You know, you beat the symptoms back, but you still got the disease. You got to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's where it all starts. That root, that foundation. Josh, like Tim said, a great example, because the you know, if the leaves are turning brown or they're falling off or the limbs are rotten, or you know, that's not where the problem is. That's showing you, but the problem is down in the roots, down in the foundation. And it's like that with this nation, and I think more people are back to that awakening, are waking up to that and seeing, you know, not just, oh yeah, make America great again. Yeah, we want cheap gas. We want affordable growth. That's what we want. But I think they're seeing that, you know, that we have to get back to that foundation. We have to look back to the roots, to the cause, not just the effect. We're living in the effect, but the cause. What's causing this? And it's, you know, let me tell you, somebody up in Connecticut or wherever figured it out when they took a baseball bat to that false god, that false image. And they said, not in my town. Now, they might have been like Gideon and did it at night with a hood on and not advertised it, but it got done. And I think, you know, that people are seeing that it is that, it's that root, you know. That's where you got to put the attention, whether it's the nutrients or the watering that need to be done for the tree or the root and the foundation of this nation, to get back to the Bible and the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ as the foundation for what we do and what we don't do and what we allow and what we don't allow. And that's, you know, when we get good again in the eyes of God, that's when we can be great again. But until then, it just ain't going to work. But I think people are starting to see that more and more.
Well, somebody called it that sign, Don't Stop Praying. They can see beyond it. You know, just because you put Nebuchadnezzar in charge of the country or whatever it is, it don't mean it's going to happen. You know, you're absolutely right. You got to get rid of the problem. When the American people want righteousness again, that's when things will change. You know, and that's what's going to change it. And it is going on. But, you know, we've got some debts to pay for our past sins. You know, things don't just go away. You know, you reap what you sow.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes.
That's for sure. And a lot of people are reaping it. Some people reap it later on down the road. Some people are reaping it right now. Some people, you know, I think of the scripture found in Galatians. I believe it's in Galatians 6, and it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And, you know, that's... That, you know, applies to a people, that applies to me personally, to Tim personally, to each and every one of us. It also applies to our nation. And, you know, I think that there's, you know, people are definitely waking up. There's a lot of information coming to light. And, you know, that's what we need to be doing first and foremost is, you know, starting as having, you know, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, been trying to push people. It's, you know, I've talking with Justice again yesterday, my 13-year-old boy, he'll be 14 here at the end of this month. And I said, you know, got up, he came out to the shop with me. I said, well, what are we going to do today? And he's like, we're going to do a little bit better than we did yesterday. And I said, you know what, that's right. And that's what, you know, I've been trying to teach him. And we're going to, you know, push ourselves a little bit more. We're going to try a little bit harder. I like that song that I played last week for, a communion service. It was A Little Less of Me, I think it was a Roger Miller song. I can't remember exactly, but I was going to try to play that this morning. But you know, it's just a good song. I mean, you know, and we push ourselves a little bit harder. We try to be a little bit more humbler. We try to be closer to God. I really appreciate the scripture that Zach, starts off his messages with it in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it took me a long time to realize the point that he was trying to make. But, you know, when we get into the Bible and we know the Word of God, that is knowing God. And that's knowing our Creator. And it is, you know, it's important. And we've got a new Bible reading plan that anybody that's out there that would like it, we encourage you to read your Bible, get into the Word of God, because that is, that's knowing our Creator. That is God, getting into the Word. And, you know, I think that every day, it's more important for us to get into that Word of God, get into it and learn it, but don't just, you know, be able to quote your scriptures and this and that. You got to live it. And I know a lot of people out there, I mean, they're like swordsmiths. They can sling scripture out there, out of their mouth, left and right, and combat it with, you know, and argue with you. But, there's a lot of them too that do that's just like the scripture says. They praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And that's the kind of people that you got to really be aware of. And you'll know them by their fruits. And I believe that those people too are being exposed for who they are and what they are also. But that's why it's so important for us to get into the Word of God, to get to know God, but believe it and act upon it.
And you hold your preacher to the Word too. They're the biggest actors there are in this world. They know a lot of stuff, but Jim's because they can get away with it. You're so ignorant. Don't put that man on a pedestal. Even Pastor Peters, he wasn't there with me at first because I was really down on preachers, and he fit right in there at that point, but he kept telling the truth. And I changed my mind since then. So, but you just hold them to the truth and read the Word and know the Word. You know. I at one time I could quote scripture like nobody you knew. I used to, but I kind of lost it. And I believe that you have to teach biblical principles that fit in a man's life more than be able to get all them badges that I wanna. That's my take on it. You got to teach biblical principles and you ask questions. You know, you got to get in a guy's mind. When he's asking a question, it's to give him what he needs, no more.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%, Paul. That's and I think that's one of the things that Pastor Peters really tried to do, and he did a really good job at it.
He did. He did excellent because, first of all, he was preaching from his heart and stuff that happened to him. He told me sometimes he'd get his sermon on the way to church, you know, but, yeah, and then other people work for 2 days to set you there and come together with that. You know where the Holy Spirit was.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't know. Has anybody heard about any of these, any of the terrorism stuff that's been going on overseas? I don't know a whole lot about it. I didn't know if anybody else had been reading up on it.
It's building up to something because, first of all, we have no business being off our soil. We're not to make alliance with other nations. And I just a little bit concerns me a little bit that, you know, Trump sending these people, you know, threatening letters and stuff like that. We should come home and fix our own country. You know, our missionaries went out for a reason. You know, one time I seen a National Geographic, the guy was in the South Seas, and they had a hut in the middle of the town where all the menstruating women were. And I says, they had Christian missionaries. Today they go, you know, and today they have to travel for religious vacation for the most part. They ain't got much use for them.
Yeah.
It's turmoil. I think it's turmoil. You know, you see what's going on in Syria. They got rid of Assad. He was their leader, and, oh, he was the worst thing ever. But the rebels that have come in, they're ISIS, they're Al-Qaeda, they've come in. And so it's just out of the frying pan into the fire over there. I saw two headlines Thursday. One said, now Syria is going to be horrible for Christians. They're going to kill all the Christians. And then there was another headline that said this Timmerman guy that had been held, he was over there a Christian, he'd been held in jail, he was an American citizen. They released him and said, yeah, go on home now that you know, we've got you liberated. So, you know, they say the exact opposite. The same media reports the exact opposite. So they cover all their bases. So I don't think they know what's going on. It's the turmoil in the land, the wars and rumors of wars, you know, the Sunnis and the Hadis. And yeah, they live by the sword. They're going to die by the sword. It's what they do. But I agree, Paul, we'd be much better off if we just, if we came home, if we let them, do what they're going to do.
and we protected our soil and our people. You know, the when you read that the little speech we've got by Smedley Butler back in the, what was it, the 30s, it's called War is a Racket. And that little speech explains it all. That was from a man that was there almost, you might say, at the beginning, when it was really starting to become less of a defense of this nation and more of a, you know, defense of the people in this nation that make money globally. And he understood it. He had lived through it. He saw it. And he told about it. We've got that little speech, War is a Racket, by Smedley Butler. And that explains it. It really does. You know, we should defend our nation, but so much of what this great, giant military complex is goes so much further than that. It really does. And but that little speech does a great job in explaining it.
Well, a couple years ago, I was I don't know what was happening over in Syria. I think it was when the when Russia was coming over there. But I did a bunch of reading on Assad, and it's interesting because they sure don't like to show many pictures of him. When you hear the name Assad, you automatically think of somebody, you know, with a turban on and wearing rags. And I did a bunch of reading up on him, and you know, basically he got the job pretty much by default after his brother died. He came back, and then after his father died, then he was elected president. But I mean, he was still the guy that you know, basically his people liked him. They said that if you showed up to his house, either him or his wife, you know, rang the doorbell, either him or his wife would answer the door. And he's not anything like what people said he was. He was an eye doctor from UK, I believe is where he was practicing. Went over there, very educated person. Another thing that I noticed is they don't like to let you hear him talk. And a lot of times when you see him on TV or you see him on a video clip, they'll just put the words up at the bottom and you don't hear him because he talks with a UK accent. It's kind of funny. Yeah, I think that he definitely got a bad rap in this whole deal because it's you know, just warfare. But I mean, he got ran out at first. You know, I seen several things that came across my desk that said that his plane was shot down, and apparently that wasn't the case. But it sounded like, you know, he got out of there just in time because they were gonna kill him. And some of the video footage that I seen was when they went in there and, you know, into some of the buildings, they just went in there and completely trashed everything.
Well, the hypocrisy that's going on all over there, foreign speaking wise, is just, you know, Israel's bombed Syria like 500 times in the last few days. They've blown up jets, food, drones. And of course, they're saying military targets, but they've displaced a lot of people, which is what they claim that was done to them. But they're moving all over the place, and they're telling their troops, you know, to prepare to remain in Syria through the winter, and basically that they are telling them that they're going to occupy that seized territory indefinitely. So, and then we've got Ukraine over there, kind of the same thing. It's just such a, there's so much hypocrisy involved in that. It's like, well, you could be aggressive. Well, they were aggressive. You're aggressive. I mean, you know, and you're going in and taking all this over, and it's just like, you just kind of scratch your head and look at it and go, well, it's so two wrongs make right, or how exactly does that all work? I mean, Ukraine is the second largest foreign aid reception from the United States, right after Israel, you know, the little state of Israel. So it's like there's a lot of hypocrisy involved in that, but yet we have these wars of aggression going on, and of course, you know, at least in the mouths of the talking heads, that's just horror. So, but it just depends on who's doing it, you know. So it's and evidently it also depends on who's paying for it. As long as we're paying for it, it's okay.
Well, yeah, like Ukraine was one of the most productive places agricultural then in the world at one time, you know, until Stalin killed everybody. But that place was for fertile. It still is to some degree, but, you know, the politics involved, and, you know, they want to get Russia and Ukraine in a fight, and, you know, they like war. They like to sit back and watch people die. You know, you and I don't like that, but they love it.
That's for sure. We are just about out of time. Closing thoughts, gentlemen?
I would say just everybody look at the contrast. See how the turmoil, how things are today in this administration. Give it a few months and let's see. Let's just remember the turmoil, the worldwide turmoil, if it grows or if it decreases. And you know, it's by their fruits you shall know them as far as what's coming into this country. We'll see.
Our enemies own all the radio stations, all the TV stations, everything. So you only get to hear what they want you to hear. You know, like that song, "The Rich Man North of Richmond," that disappeared. You know, and this other John, whatever his name is, has this really good song too, and that never makes the airwaves. And then they control all that, and they're in control of all the news media. In 1800, they said we got to get control of the news, the scribes.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we thank you for joining us this morning. Remember to join us for church by going to sfaw.org tomorrow. And thank you, men, for being here. God bless.
Stress, a thought.